Coming up on this episode of Inside Pop.
The networks have spoken. We are talking about the shows that got the axe. And the one that I'm very, very, very sad about.
Then we give our thoughts on two new tracks from Andre 3000 and their emotional origins. And Sean shares his recent experience at a Florence and the Machine show.
All of that, and but of course it's the big sell, and it's all happening right now on Inside Pop.
Hey y'all, I'm Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson, and this is Inside Pop, and we are your weekly dive inside the world of pop culture, typically a joyful, happy, go-lucky celebration of pop culture, but not today. Today
Why
we are
not,
gonna bring
Sean?
Because today we are talking about the harsh reality of television. Not all shows make it. And this is the time of year when the networks trot out all of their shiny new shows and their shiny, not so new shows that they're continuing. But that always means that some shows have to get the axe. And it's happened this week, and we're gonna talk about it. And you're actually going to help me through one very, very difficult announcement.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate time of year. I mean, sometimes it feels like it could be a blessing because there's some shows that need to go. Guys, let's be honest. There's some shows that need to go. But sometimes some of our beloved shows are shockingly canceled. And some of them you're like, okay, cool. You know, it's reached its end. Adios.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. How should we do this? Do you want to... Should we just... Because there are a lot of canceled shows. Should we just talk about some of the highlights? Or lowlights,
yeah,
as one would say?
They would be lowlights, again, for most of them. Yeah. But some of them are highlights. And I think, you know, to kind of break it down, for those of you who may not know why some of these decisions are made, you know, some of these decisions are made because they have... You know, not great ratings, obviously not a great following. Sometimes they're made because they need to make room for new stuff. Interestingly, this year, Fox actually made a deal with the NFL and they are going to be carrying Thursday Night Football, which takes a lot of hours on television, even just Thursday night. And so... Fox had to make some tough decisions.
Oh, boy. Let's rip off the Band-Aid.
Okay, rip it off.
Yeah, Fox canceled. There are a lot of series that are just ending, and but some that are canceled. So, for example, let's talk The X-Files. The X-Files, according to a tweet by Gillian Anderson, Special Agent Dana Scully, lost 77% of its viewership by the end of its... Amita, I didn't even watch The X-Files last season. So
that's crazy.
That is put out of all of our misery. I think the most famous Fox cancellation was Brooklyn Nine-Nine-Nine. They canceled the show. Twitter erupted. I didn't realize so many people watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine-Nine.
It's just Nine-Nine.
That might have been the problem with the title. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Thank you, Amita. I remember our podcast friend, it's Esta Fiesta, kind of admonished everyone. She's like, okay, I see all of y'all tweeting about Brooklyn Nine-Nine after it's been canceled. But
yeah,
it was crickets when the show was on.
It was crickets. I mean, I also didn't follow it. It did win a Golden Globe when it first came out, and it has a great cast. Some really good, like Terry Crews is in it, Andre Brower is in it, Andy Samberg's in it. There's some really good, funny, like funny people on the show. Mm-hmm. I just never really got into it. I'd watched a few episodes when it first came out, but Lin-Manuel Miranda is a fan and started tweeting about how he wanted the show being saved, and I was like, oh, okay, Lin-Manuel, I guess. I didn't know you were a fan of the show. Have you tweeted about it before? Have you?
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. But the good news for this one is, and it only happens every once in a while, NBC picked the show up. So people were thinking, oh, maybe Hulu will pick it up. Hulu's done that before with the Mindy Project, famously.
Yes.
But so Brooklyn 99, 99. canceled by Fox, but picked up by NBC. Happy news. Guess what's not happy news?
The fact that Last Man Standing was canceled and it was picked up by another network? I don't get it.
Oh, snap. Shade at Last Man Standing on Earth.
Wait, what is my problem with titles? Somehow has captured the hearts of this country and people are upset. Like, doesn't make any sense.
Wait, Tim Allen.
That's his show. Last Man Standing on Earth?
Oh, no. I thought you said Last Man on Earth. We've got some title issues. I do.
We've got title issues. There's a Tim Allen sitcom that has been going on for a couple seasons, who knows how, on ABC. And it was revived because people were upset that it was getting canceled.
Are you talking about Home Improvement?
No, but it's like that. It's just like the 2010s version of Home Improvement.
Well, this makes me angry because I'm assuming that show doesn't deserve anything. My beloved. It does.
Guess who picked it up? Sean Fox.
Oh, they picked it up
from ABC.
Okay, now. Interesting choice.
Yeah. I wonder who it had to cut in order to make space for Last Man Standing. I'm building, guys. I'm building.
All right. I'm ripping off the Band-Aid. My beloved show, The Exorcist, was canceled. And I'm really beside myself. I knew the ratings weren't great, but I thought it was so well reviewed. And the fact that it brought these prestige stars like John Cho, like Gina Davis in season one to its show, I thought that would help it. But listen, it's a tough, harsh, cruel industry. And so sadly, The Exorcist is not continuing. And listen, I've loved TV for so many years. Basically, not every year, but I would say every couple of years, there's a cancellation that hurts. 2 years ago, Sense8 got canceled, and that hurt a lot. And now it's The Exorcist. Really, the only other person I know who watches the show is our friend Norman. And so I had to reach out to him for consolation. And he is equally despondent.
Guys, it's not too late. Start your own Twitter campaign. Get people on it. Get John Cho to tweet some people. I don't know. Like, it can live somewhere else. Amazon, you want it? Hulu, you want it?
You know what? I would love a final, like what they've done for Sense8, a final The Exorcist 2-hour movie event where, because there was a cliffhanger. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, the devil is alive and he has possessed many highly placed people in the Vatican and something's about to go down and now we'll never know what happens.
Wow. Well, again, can we get like a one-off special movie to finish off the series?
That would be great.
Listen to this fan.
Thank you, Amita. I knew you'd be there for me. And now
I'm there for you to fight this. That's what I'm there for.
Now, I want to ask you about a cancellation because we haven't really spoken about the show since it premiered. I know you were super excited about Quantico because it starred. Is it the first time in TV history that a woman of Asian descent has starred in a drama on a network show?
Yeah. You know what? There's so many like semantics to all of that. I believe that's true because, you could say Lucy Liu, but she co-starred in Elementary.
Right.
I think so. In a drama. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, is Elementary still on? My mom loves Elementary. All mothers love CBS procedurals. Okay.
Now there is a handful of shows that didn't make it on CBS. I'm surprised, but
the moms of the world will be protesting.
No, Elementary did make the cut, according to the list that I'm looking at.
Okay, thank goodness. My mom does not listen to this podcast, but she will be relieved to know. Sadly, Scorpion did not make it. Kevin can wait. Wisdom of the Crowd. Ooh, made I remember Wisdom of the Crowd.
Wisdom of a Crowd. Well, I mean, I think that also had to do with some of those rumors about Jeremy Piven. So,
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So how do you feel about Quantico being canceled?
So I unfortunately, although I am always rooting for people brown and black, I did not watch Quantico. Mm-hmm. I think I maybe watched the first couple episodes and I didn't stick with it. But I am a huge fan of Priyanka Chopra. I think she's extremely talented. I think that she is super fun. I believe in her as somebody who's crossed over extremely successfully. And she is developing some other projects, so I'm excited to see if some of her other projects are coming through in the new TV season. But I wish I could speak more to it. It sucks because I'm just like, all right, so, you know, got to wait for another show to feature somebody, feature a brown girl. All right.
I know.
It lasted a couple seasons, so, you know. I think that one might have been a little bit of a surprise, along with Designated Survivor. I believe those two seem to have a decent following and got the axe. Another show that I actually will say that I am a little surprised but happy that it's gone is the NBC new show Rise that got so much promotion and so much push that was going to be like this spring season of This Is Us, the feel-good show. I tried so hard to believe in it, and I watched it for about three episodes, and I had to give it up. And I was just like, this show could have been really good. Jason Kadams, who created Friday Night Lights and Parenthood and has a really great track record, I don't know what happened, but I'm okay with it gone. I think that they tried to like hit and check mark every single box of like a teen high school character.
Right.
Like,
right.
Here's the closeted gay.
Oh boy.
Boy. Here's the trans character. Let's introduce a character who's Muslim. And then let's introduce a troubled character dealing with, you know, alcohol abuse. And then let's do, like, it was just like every episode, it was just like another thing. They're like, okay, wait, what's the after school special that we should make sure we include in this episode?
You know, I think one thing which could be interesting to the listeners is that another factor in deciding a network has in deciding whether a show is going to be canceled is the cost of the show. So I feel like some of the shows that you just mentioned, Quantico, Designated Survivor, even Rise, because of music and the big production numbers, those are really expensive shows to make. So I think if you have a show like, and my guess would be Friday Night Lights, which every season was on the bubble, finally did leave NBC and went to, was it Dish TV?
DirecTV.
Yeah. DirecTV. I think one of the things that probably helped that show was it was relatively, for an hour drama, probably relatively less expensive because even though you had a pretty good sized cast, many of them had been unknowns. The two biggest stars were probably compensated very well, but shooting in Texas, low budget. So, you know, you compare a Quantico to with explosions and also a large ensemble with a show like Friday Night Lights or, you know, something that's, you know, is cheaper, that also helps the show. So I think, you know, networks are in a strange position. I read an interesting article because since 2016, but maybe even earlier, ratings have been going down, right?
Mm-hmm.
The average viewer is not getting younger. They want the young audience. They want 18 to 34. That's the sweet spot. But guess what? 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, they've grown up without some of them. Many of them don't have TVs. Many of them just need their phones or their PlayStations or their laptops or iPads. So the network, I mean, think about a network like MTV, Amita. We've both worked for MTV networks. That channel is based on finding young people. But young people don't want to be found. They don't need MTV or MTV2. So that's a particularly challenging spot for that network. But I think all networks. Networks don't want 50-year-olds necessarily watching their show. They want 35-year-olds who have more disposable income, blah, blah, blah. So it's a challenge TV's facing right now.
It definitely is. And then, you know, I think sometimes there are those premiere kind of buzzworthy shows that do come through and kind of break through, which is like something like Roseanne when it got revived and went people went bonkers for it. The ratings were out of control when Roseanne premiered. And I think networks then start to kind of, you know, get a little like, okay, now how do we tap into this? And how do we create another thing like this? And how do we, is this where we should be going towards something more multicam versus single camera? You know, people want to see this. It's interesting, the assumptions and the formulas and the thought process that comes from something that becomes a huge hit like that versus something that, you know, might have been an experiment like Rise and thought it would be a big hit and didn't make the cut.
Right. So it's you know, we almost always talk about the artistic merit of shows or the social meaning of TV, or just our pure enjoyment and love of a show. But behind all that, it's a business, and these people are out here to make money, and you know, this happens. So and listen, we should say that this list that we're talking about is of 8:01 on a Tuesday, May 15th morning. And so there are a couple of shows that are on the bubble. And so there may even be more cancellations. So if anything major happens, we'll let you know next week. But that's the hard truth. So hopefully your shows have survived, your favorite shows. But make sure to tweet us at Pop Insiders and let us know what you think of the cancellations, the renewals. Let us know if you think there are any new shows you're excited about. Maybe we'll talk about that in an upcoming episode. But you'll have to tell us what you really care about. So make sure to tweet us at Pop Insiders.
And we'll have more after this short message.
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay! I'm Alea Gringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Culvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on Butt Legs. We're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff, only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun.
Welcome back to Inside Pop.
So Mother's Day was Sunday, and I don't know about you, but I was enjoying everybody posting about their moms. There's a wonderful photo that you posted of you and your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so excited to celebrate moms all over the place. I'm going through, and now, you know, there's celebrities, you know, celebrating moms. And I happened to be following Erykah Badu on Instagram, and she posted a repost of something from Andre 3000 and like wrote this amazing kind of moving message. And I was just like, what is this? And she basically told the story about how Andre 3000 put out some new music in tribute to his mother. And then it turns out after we saw a few more posts, it was actually in tribute to both of his parents, who he unfortunately lost within a year of each other. In 2013 and 2014. And we had just been talking about how we wanted more music from Andre 3000.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, did you expect this? Because this was a definite departure from the Andre 3000 style that we know.
Yeah, I think, Amita, I love that question. This is a case of you really wanted and thought you needed a certain thing from an artist, they give you something else and you're grateful that your expectations were not met. What I wanted from Andre 3000 was just like a big old solo melodic pop rap, amazing hip hop from him. And he didn't give us that. He gave us two songs. One is a 17 minute freestyle jazz song that's like at times melodic and atonal. But the other one is this just tender, mournful, but comforting ballad, just memories of being with his mom and his dad. And it's so touching. And he's singing. He's not rapping, but it's perfect.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So the two tracks that he put out, one is the one that is a tribute to his mom and dad. is called Me and My to Bury Your Parents. Mm. Just a already just heartfelt and powerful title right there. And he just, it's so surprising. It was so surprising to hear him sing like that. It was so beautiful. I really enjoy the soulful jazz that he put in this track. And it was very emotional.
Really emotional. I mean, listen, as someone who's dealt with some you know, grieving the loss of family members, it, and you can tell like how much he loved his parents and how close he was. I feel like it takes, I'm sure it was therapeutic for him, but I'm sure it was a thought process for him to decide to release those publicly. And you know, couldn't you imagine him just being in a recording studio and doing it just for himself, for therapy?
Mm-hmm.
But so I would love to hear his thought process on why he released these two and what it means. I feel like it could mean, yep, I'm in the studio, I'm still making music, I'm just not ready to deal with any record label shenanigans. Or it could mean, no, that's it. Or it could mean, oh, yeah, I am working on new music and you guys will get a new album. I would love an Andre 3000 interview. Oh, and you know, I would love for Erykah Badu to do that interview.
Interview Magazine. They always do really great things like that.
Yes.
They should do that. Please, from our lips to your pages. So if you go on to Andre 3000 on Instagram, he started a Instagram account and only has a few pictures on there, and one of them is a great photo of him and his mom when he was younger. And then there are some actual text messages where I guess they were the last text messages he and his mom exchanged before she died, which is also very touching. And the 17 minute jazz like freestyle was also very interesting, and I was like reading up about it. James Blake, who we both have raved about, is on this track. He plays the piano, I believe. And again, Andre 3000, already so talented, another talent to him. He plays the bass clarinet
right
on this. Who knew? It's an actually very beautiful and mournful beautiful and mournful melody that I didn't know Andre was playing. I wasn't sure who was playing what and what was happening, because you didn't hear him, right? But
right.
It's actually really, really melancholy, but also very, very sweet.
Yeah, and I think you need to be someplace where you can just kind of be for 17 minutes, whether you're going for a run or you're walking down the street. But
yeah,
I had sat down and like for a coffee and a bite to eat, and I put on my headphones and I listened to it yesterday, and you know, for 17 minutes, 17 minutes went by. Give that song that kind of attention, to just be able to be with it for the length of its run. And I just want to shout out his relationship with Erykah Badu, because they were together.
Oh, yes.
We all remember the song Miss Jackson, famously about their breakup. But they've, for 20 years, they've maintained, I think, I don't know what you'd call it, a friendship, co-parenting, a musical collaboration. Their song Hello, still one of the great songs of 2015 or 16.
Yeah.
And you know, listen, they had a son together, and they're raising this child. And there's a great photo, I'm looking at Erykah Badu's Instagram account now, of the three of them just acting super silly together. And this kid looks like, oh, funny. He looks like the offspring of Erykah Badu and Andre 3000, but he looks like a complete synthesis of both of them. And it's great. I mean, that's break up, but stay in each other's lives goals.
Yeah, very. It seems like an extremely mature relationship, and I love the love that's between the two of them, and the love that they have for Seven. And you know, I was not surprised when I saw her post about it, because they've been so, you know, open about being, you know, on great terms and, you know, raising their child together. If you guys want to listen to this, the interesting thing that Andre did also is that it's only available on SoundCloud from what I could find. So go on to SoundCloud and search Andre 3000 or go onto his Instagram account, see some of the photos and screenshots that he posted. And the link is in his bio for these two tracks. Do you think that he'll put some more out? Do you think this was just kind of this one thing that he wanted to share? You know, he's been doing a lot of guest spots over the last couple of years, Frank Ocean and Beyonce, and you know, he was on the Black Panther soundtrack, and yeah, so he's been around, and that's why we were kind of craving some Andre. But I wonder if, yeah, I just wonder, and what it might be.
Yeah, I mean, he's singing, he's playing other instruments. I really hope he does, and I hope he does it on his own terms. I think I do recall reading an interview with him recently, still looking good. He wears clothes better than anybody else. He's the, yeah. I will say it, fight me if you want, the most fashionable man in hip hop. I mean, listen, Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, you've got it. Love your style. Ditto a lot of other people, but Andre 3000, he's the original. Who's yeah. more fashionable and what takes more fashion risks than he has? But all that to say that I did read an interview with him. I'll try to look for that and put it in the show notes. But I think he, just like so many artists, record labels are a nightmare for them. And he just doesn't want to enter that part of we were talking about the business behind the art. And I think he doesn't want to deal with that.
So to stay on this music tip for a second, Sean, you had the privilege of seeing one of Inside Pop's treasured artists, Florence and the Machine.
She is an Inside Pop treasure. That is true. Yes, I went to see Florence and the Machine. Coolest thing about the show is that she's coming out with a new album. She's released a couple of singles and she's planning, I think, basically a big music festival tour this summer. So she'll be playing to thousands and thousands of people at these festivals, but she's doing this run at pretty intimate venues. And I was lucky enough to get tickets. And I went with a couple of friends to see her at the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Opera House, which is one of my favorite places to see music. It's about 1500 seats and it's an old opera house, so the acoustics are amazing. You look up at the ceiling and it's beautiful. And somehow I got row L, so we were pretty close. And it was great. She was in good voice. The crowd was really into her. She is, I mean, I always joke about this. She's an elf. She's a witch. She's not human. She's this tender creature from another world. And she must be protected. But I do really like Florence a lot. And I'm going to say, Amita, the highlight for me of this concert was, and I want to just ask you if you've had this experience. You know, I was there for the songs that I knew. And I thought, oh, yeah, she might play some new songs and we'll see what those are like. For me, the highlight of the show, she played a new song and I loved it instantly. And I was like, oh, my God, I need to hear this song again. Why is this the best song that you've played all night, even though I love so many of your older songs? And it dawned on me that it's rare for me to love a song hearing it live for the very first time. Usually, I don't know, I can love a song listening to it on the album for the first time, and then you listen and listen and it grows and grows and grows. But for me, it's a rare experience to hear a song for the first time at a concert and know immediately that it's going to be one of my favorite songs. And so I wanted to ask you if you've ever had that experience.
That's a good question. First of all, I can't wait to hear what the song is that you heard. But
yeah,
I have to think. I've been blessed to have gone to quite a bit of live performances. I'm wondering if the only person that comes to mind right now is like Miguel, because we saw him before War and Leisure came out. And so I'm trying to, I'm already a fan. So I loved everything he did. I believe that I really enjoyed, I think, Caramello Duro before.
Yes.
Because we heard that and it was just a great, great upbeat track from him. So I think that might have been something that I was like, what is that? Oh my gosh. I love it. And he's singing in Spanish too, which he doesn't do often. So
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that as well. It was just like a great upbeat party song. And yeah, that was another time as well where it's like, ooh, I think I'm going to like this album. And I like that there are some upbeat songs on it. It mm-hmm. bode well for that. So yeah, and I think that it's exciting when you have an artist that you've liked for a while. I haven't loved Florence for that long, I would say. How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful was the album that got me in. So about 3 years, I guess I've really liked her. So I think that'll continue because she put on a really good show and I liked the new stuff that I heard. So
nice. Yeah, I heard Hunger on my Discover Weekly and then I saw the video, which is really cool. And I just love her energy. So I'm excited to see what this new album has to offer.
Great. We will review it whenever it comes out.
All right. We'll be back with the big sell right after this message.
Thank you so much to the over 28,000 members who joined or upgraded during the 2018 Max Fund Drive and to all of our monthly members. You showed up in full force to help us reach our goal, and to show our appreciation, we're putting up this year's batch of Max Fund Drive exclusive enamel pins on sale for all $10 and up monthly members. And just like last year, we're giving all the profits to charity. For 2018, we're supporting the National Immigration Law Center. The sale will run from May 18 through May 28, so don't miss it. $10 and up monthly members will be receiving a personalized code and instructions to purchase pins on May 17. So keep your inbox open and notifications on. For more details, head over to MaximumFund.org/pins. And to learn more about the National Immigration Law Center and support them directly, you can go to NILC.org.
Welcome back to Inside Pop.
And now it's time for the big sell.
Does that ever come into your head every time we say the big sell?
Always.
That's a catchy theme song, guys.
Always. Maybe we should get maybe instead of the usual of like coming up with different ways to describe the big sell, we can just do different live versions of the big sell theme song. We could do a two-part harmony. Okay. Maybe I'll teach myself bass clarinet and I'll play it on the bass clarinet. Xylophone.
Guys, this is how the magic happens right now.
Right. I'm just spitballing. As we know from many times in the past, the big sell is the segment in which Amit and I take turns recommending something from the world of pop culture to the other. The next week, delivering this very dramatically, the next week, we return, and the person who received the big sell then gives their rating. It's very give and take. I give Amita a big sell recommendation, and then she gives me her opinion. It's very quid pro quo.
It is. And FYI, if you didn't know, go back to last week's episode where Sean essentially just hated my big sell and gave it the lowest big sell rating ever. So
this week,
he tried to ensure that I wouldn't give his big sell an equally low rating.
Oh, well, Lord. Sean, oh, boy. No. Oh, boy.
Okay. Oh, my God. I just want to make you nervous.
But wait, can we say one thing to the listeners? We're professionals. The rating of our big sell has nothing to do with how we feel about each other. For example, if Amita gave my big sell 4 stars, that doesn't mean she likes me any more than she already does.
No, or vice it doesn't.
Versa. It does not. Au contraire.
All right. Okay. You guys are dying to know. Last week, Sean sold me a new Japanese anime series on Netflix called Agretsuko. I hope I said that right. Agretsuko. Can you just describe the series again? Because you did it so eloquently last time. And I feel like I'm going to miss something.
Oh, yeah. Agretsuko is about a 25-year-old woman who has to deal with sexism and backstabbing in her workplace, and she vents her frustrations by singing death metal karaoke spontaneously. And she's a red panda.
And this is hilarious. I like remember, so I watched it and I knew like the red panda, I knew it was anime, I knew it was like Sanrio, who did like Hello Kitty, so like the style of anime was just like super fun and bubbly. And then out of nowhere comes this death metal karaoke. Oh my god, it was such a fun episode to in such a fun series. I saw the first episode. It's only 15 minutes, guys, so it's super easy to get into it. And it's just great because you see all these stereotypes in a workplace, and you know, there's definitely some winks to the camera about certain situations with bosses and coworkers. And it's they're cute. They're so cute. Also, like, these characters are adorable. But then out of nowhere, Retsuko sings death metal karaoke.
Because she's angry.
Because she is so angry. And that every time it happened, it made me laugh so hard. So I have to thank you for this, Pixel. I thought it was highly enjoyable.
Okay, well, what would you like to rate Agretsuko?
I am going to rate Agretsuko, I'm going to give it a 3.25 star rating. Yeah,
what?
This is good.
3.25 stars.
Yes.
Awesome. That would make her very happy. Retsuko. That would make Retsuko very happy.
What does she sing when she's happy?
I don't know. I haven't seen her happy yet.
Dude, that would be so funny if she like sang like super saccharine country songs or something if she's really happy.
That would be really funny. Yeah, I've only seen her sad and angry. Those are the only emotions I've seen. Yeah. Despondent and angry. So, well, I am really excited for your Big Sell this week because I feel like I've only been listening to Dirty Computer and Florence and the Machine. I've only been watching Dear White People because I just discovered that show, season one. Where have I been?
Where have you
so
been?
So I think, I need some new in my life. So I'm excited. I need your Big Sell, Amita. You're my only hope.
Well, I can only go up from last week, guys. Sky's the limit for my Big Sell. Let's hope and pray. Let us pray. So I will say, guys, sometimes it just life gets a little busy, and so it's hard for me to consume as much pop culture. This week was one of those weeks, but I always have like a little stash of new artists that I always have ready to go. And I went into that stash for this week's Big Sell. I am going to Big Sell an artist called Madison McFerrin.
Mm-hmm.
And if that name sounds familiar, yes, she is the daughter of Bobby McFerrin. And if you don't know who Bobby McFerrin is, guys, there's this really catchy, cute tune called Don't Worry, Be Happy that you can't not tap your top your foot to and just feel a little dose of joy every time you hear that song.
And what I have to say about Don't Worry, Be Happy is that it became, I mean, it was so overplayed and people started to mock it. The very first time you heard Don't Worry, Be Happy, it like phenomenal. He does all the vocals. It's like one of those songs that just really got overplayed, but it's really a beautiful, artistic, fun song. So shout out to Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah, it is. And if you hear it now, like, yeah, things get played out. But once you hear it now, you can't not bop to it, I think. So Madison, Apple didn't fall far from that tree because she obviously admired her father's musical stylings of performing everything on her own, a cappella.
Wow.
All of the sounds and instruments that you might hear or anything vocally is all her. And she does it really, I think, really cool because it's not, you know, Bobby McFerrin's very a little bit more pop with some R&B and some jazz in there. Hers is more like R&B soul jazz. And it's a little bit, has more depth to it, in my opinion. And I really enjoyed the song that I'm about to sell to you. It is called Insane. And Madison McFerrin is the artist. And I can't wait for you to listen to her.
Oh, I really, really am looking forward to that. Hadn't heard of her. This is the beauty of the Big Cell. I'm excited. Thank you very much.
Yeah, she's only come out with a few things. She had like two short, I don't even know if you can call these EPs. Like, they're three songs each. And it was called Finding Foundations, Volume 1 and Volume 2. So this is part of Volume 2.
Okay.
And if you'd like to listen to more of her, you may. But this was the one song that I really enjoyed. And I thought I'd sell it to you.
Thank you for granting me permission to listen to more than one song. I appreciate that. All right, Amita, is that the end?
Is that the end? Yes, it is the end. And that could be a tease for next week's episode. Why, you say? Why is Janet Jackson getting a Billboard Icon Award? Will she be performing at the awards show? Yes. Will we be watching it? I will. Will you be?
For sure.
All right. We'll be talking about it next week. But until then, stay in touch with us. Head over to Twitter. Head over to Instagram. At Pop Insiders is our handle. Go to Facebook. Like us. Leave us a comment. Go to InsidePopPodcast.com. Check out old episodes. Subscribe to our podcast, pretty please. And just, you know, find us on Spotify, Overcast. Everywhere you find podcasts, you can find us. And we would love for you to listen and let us know what you're thinking. Let us give us a big sell. Holler at us.
Holler at your boy and girl. You can also find us on MaximumFun.org. That's right. It's a great podcast network. We've been a part of it for a little bit under a year. And there are a lot of other great podcasts that you could check out after you finish listening to us twice. Then check out some other podcasts. They're all dedicated to comedy and or culture. And it's a great home for Inside Pop.
And of course, we cannot pass this upcoming weekend without talking about Deadpool 2. I can't wait for it. All of the raunchiness and explicit and obscene action that is going to happen in this movie. Bring it, people. Bring it on Deadpool 2.
Wait, Amita, do you understand the joy you bring me when like you're the one who's like excited about the nerdy superhero movie? I'm so proud. I'm so happy.
I learned it by watching you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's going to be a great week of pop culture. And the only place to go after you've consumed all that pop culture is our podcast. So we will definitely see you next week.
Have a great week, y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.